भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवती नष्ट की। ओके, सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 द ब्रह्म विवाह लीला। सो टेक्स्ट 29, what is the text here? 31? Okay. Tato vidurakcharato gava vatsan upavrajam govardhana drisirashi charantayo dadrashutramantrinam. Translation: thereafter, while pasturing atop Govardhan Hill, the cows looked down to find some green grass and saw their calves pasturing near Vrindavan, not very far away. Text 30. Dishtva tata sneha vaso samattatma sago vrajo tayatma durgmarga द्वीपात काकुत ग्रीव उदश्य पूछो गाद धुंकृति आश्रपय जवैन। Translation: when the cows saw their own calves from the top of Govardhan Hill, they forget themselves and their caretakers because of increased affection. And although the path was very rough, they ran towards their calves with great anxiety, each running as if with one pair of legs. Their milk bags full and flowing with milk, their heads and tails raised and their humps moving with their necks, they ran forcefully until they reached their calves to feed them. Purport: generally, the calves and the cows are pastured separately. The elderly men take care of the cows and the small children see the calves. This time, however, the cows immediately forget their position as soon as they saw the calves below the Govardhan Hill, and they ran with the great force, their tails erect and their front and hind legs joined until they reach their calves. So we will now together chant 31st. Samatya, assembling. Gava, all the cows. Other, down at the foot of Govardhan Hill. Vatsan, all their cows. Vatsavatya, as if the new cows have been born from them. Api, even though the new calves were present. Apayayan, fed them. Gilantaya, swallowing them. Eva, as if. Cha, also. Angani, their bodies. Lihantaya, licking as they do when their newborn calves are present. Swadoshanam paya, their own milk flows from their milk bags. So please repeat after me. Samataya gava dho vatsan vatsava vattayopi apayayam gilantaya iva changani Nihantaya Swadhasampaya. Anyone can repeat?
Amen.
Okay. There is no translation, so translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The cow then has given birth to new calves, but while coming down from Govardhan Hill, the cows, because of increased affection for the older cows, allow the older cows to drink milk from their milk bags and then begin licking the cows' bodies in anxiety as if wanting to swallow them. Om Jnanati Manansa Jnananda Salakya Chakshamitam Tasmaya Sri Guru. Okay, so last time I mentioned two things. This chapter talks about the bewilderment of Lord Brahma, the most intelligent personality in this universe. So there are two reasons for that. One is basically he was amazed that how Agasura got liberated. The second thing is that when he was seeing the activities of Krishna with the cowherd boys, then he got bewildered, you know. So the yogis meditate so many thousands of years and all the offering goes to the Vishnu. It's up to the Vishnu to accept or not. But how they are sharing, so that was the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. The Brahma is 1.5 trillion years old, so he is more intelligent obviously than us, but he was bewildered, okay, because there was a little tinge of false ego, and Krishna was to just, he chastised his false ego. He removed that false ego by showing him his all the cowherd boys, all the cows, they appeared as a forearm form, and Krishna was glancing at the Lord Brahma. Okay, through that glancing, whatever the false ego, that little bit false ego that Lord Brahma has, just went away. Just by glancing here as the kurma, you know how big was the kurma? 800,000 miles is so big. Even the Lord Vara, he covers the whole 7 planetary system. But the same Lord Vara, so basically he has a so big force that you can pour the whole ocean, still is empty. But through the love of Mother Yashoda, he was just putting the same bucket of water and pouring on Krishna, and Krishna was shivering. So you can see the effect of love. Same Krishna. And the same ocean water cannot fit into the pores of Lord Vara. So Krishna appears, so it is said in Shastras that all these avataras, when Krishna manifests here, all these avataras are within Krishna. They appear with him, within him. They appear here. So Lord Vishnu and all those things. So when Krishna start killing the demons, it's not Krishna, it's the Vishnu Tattva is killing those demons. So Vishnu, basically, he take care of the burden of the earth. That's why Lord Brahma go to the ocean shore and ask for Lord Vishnu to protect the earth when the calamities comes. So he is the one, Vishnu is the one who is killing all the demons. Krishna appears here for two reasons. Okay, one is to give a prema, his eternal sweet love to the devotees. He wants to display that. And the second reason is raga marg, means he involves his associate, his devotees, to in his sweet pastimes, in that sweet love. So that's the two reasons that Krishna appears. So one of the few of the important things we learn from here is that Lord Brahma was the most intelligent person of this universe, and then he got bewildered because sometimes we create those offenses, a little offense or large offense, and that offense basically in this case is not properly recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so that offenses actually clouds the intelligence of the most intelligent people. Okay. So there are 5 effects in this category. One of the effects is basically, you know, when our thoughts and our behaviors, are not good with others, then that's also create an offense. Okay? So thoughts and behavior has to be very nice with other peoples. We have to be very careful in our dealings with others, devotees, thoughts and his behaviors, because that can cloud the intelligence. It doesn't matter how long we are practicing this bhakti or we are witnessing the bhakti, but these thoughts are not good, if the dealings are not good, that can cloud the intelligence of a devotee. So, in the case of this Vasudev, so you can see here, you should be very careful how to deal with this. Like Vasudev, he took his son Krishna and gave it to Nanda Maharaj, okay? And Nanda Maharaj's daughter was born to Yashoda. So he went there one time, he asked that, he didn't ask that, you know, how is your son, to Nanda Maharaj, because that's not truthful, because Krishna was his son. But he asked that, how is your praja? So that's a nice way you can ask. So it doesn't, it's truthful, and also basically it doesn't hurt the sentiments of others. So he's asking him, how is your praja? But at the same time, he dealt with Kamsa diplomatically. So this is how we deal. And the second is, in this category is faithlessness. If there is a faithlessness here is means, you know, lack of conviction, if we see the other devotees in problems. That's how it comes. We read the sastras, we read all the Vedic scriptures, but if some devotees got in problem, then we lose some faith that why this happened to him. And this happened to most of the devotees. Why this happened? So that we are losing some faith in it. Okay, and that clouds the intelligence. So this is very important, you know, because lack of conviction, you know, we are harboring, you know, contradictory ideas. Speculate what's going on. Because we are, go back and read the sastras again. To read this purport by these acharyas, they give a very clear-cut explanation why this is happening. So this is very important. Okay, because, you know, sometimes what happens, a devotee comes, when you are in the prasadam hall and sit by the side, and he said, I chant 4 rounds and I pass bhakti sastri exams. Then someday what happened, he started chanting 16 rounds and then he failed that exam. So his mind get bewildered, intelligence get bewildered. What happening? If I chant more, then, you know, I failed. So basically the faith gets slackened. So, you know, it's very careful. Sometimes the devotees, you give garland, you know, they take it, but sometimes you offer something, they still hesitate. You know, sometimes the prasad, which is the ecstasy, you know, the top, even you give the prasad to some people, they don't take it. Because they think that if I take prasad, I will be like you. So, that comes. So, yesterday in Purana, it is mentioned that basically, people who are under these difficult situations, basically, that difficulty brings them closer to Krishna, because they start remembering that Krishna in those difficulties. Okay? So that apatti is basically become their sampatti. Okay? Those obstacles become their wealth, because they start remembering Krishna more when these obstacles comes. Okay, so as Sukhdeva Goswami mentioned in this 10th canto, when there is a heavy rain covering the mountains, so it's just like, you know, that is compared with how devotees who struggle, who faces a lot of obstacles in their life. But as the rain pounders the mountains, it cleanses it from the top. Similarly, there is obstacles, which are the hurdles, or obstacles, you can say, the problems with the devotees. It allows them to remember Krishna more, and it brings them closer to the Krishna. So one should think in that way, you know. If somebody asks, okay, you have heard that, you know, Parikshit Maharaj got saved in the womb by Lord Krishna. Yes, it is right. But what happened? But then they start wondering, people start wondering, you know, what happened, you know, why he got cursed? just by putting a snake, you know, he got curse. Why is so suffering? Parikshit Maharaj is not suffering, but we always think that why is suffering? You know, he was the son of, okay, Abhimanyu. Lord Krishna protected in the womb. So that's slackened the faith. And that slackening of the faith is basically the offense. You know, the Pandavas have so many powers. You know, Yudhishthira represents the power of piety. This Bhima represents the power of strength. This Arjuna represents the power of skills. And Nakula and Sahadeva, they represent the power of loyalty. They were overwhelmed in every situation by the Kauravas. They were defeated, but they were not defeated within their hearts. Within their hearts, they always remember Krishna, and they can overcome, they just overcame all those difficulties. So the faith was strong on the other side. So this is what we learn from these Pandavas, the lessons. If certain difficulties comes, we should not get basically bewildered. We have to basically focus our mind. So focus has to be there. If the focus goes over a period of time, that means we lose taste in Krishna consciousness. So that's very important. Vishwanath Chakrapani Thakur said in one of our purport, I think, 5th or 6th canto, he said, you know, there's a staircase or a stairs between this Mrityuloka and spiritual world and the material world. There's a stairs. But at the same time, he said that every step in that stair is a disaster. Means it's obstacles. It's not easy. So the bhakti mark is not easy. Okay, so obstacles are there. Krishna will test you at every point. So Jiva Goswami mentioned two points that has to be very important. That one has should be very strong in chanting or careful in chanting, and one should also be very careful in dealing with others, in your dealings with others. These two things are very important, and these are the gateway for the spiritual planets. Okay? Other two things he mentioned, that one should be also very thoughtful and one should be always very faithful. Okay? So if you follow these four instructions, these are the gateway for the spiritual planets. Otherwise, you know, the Golok Vrindavan, we always talk about Golok Vrindavan, you know, you chant a few rounds, you go back to Godhead. It's not that easy. Because there, you are serving Krishna for eternity. There is no arguments there. You cannot argue there, I cannot do this service. You can argue here, but not there. So that's why this whole process is to overcome those arguments. We should have not have the tendency to have those arguments all the time. So when the arguments are not there, when there is no misery, no bewilderment, then the place is open. Because there you are doing service there for Sanatana, eternal time. So these are the two important things that clouds our intelligence. And the third thing is that basically you are doing bhakti for a long period of time, but slowly and slowly, if absorption is not there, you will lose faith. Okay, the best example for this is Bharat Maharaj. Okay, he is practicing this for many, many years, but somehow he got attracted to the baby deer, and his absorption just went from baby deer from whatever he activity he is doing towards the baby deer. So that erodes his faith. Even the activities that he was doing regularly, his mind was not there. Because he was making that small offense, and that clouds his intelligence. So there are a few reasons that it happens. One is because, you know, sometimes the prarabdha karma, you know, comes, aparad, you know, comes into the pictures, and you have to see the effect of those things. So that's what absorption get diverted. The other reason that Vishwanath Chakrapati Thakur said in the beginning of the 5th canto, that sometimes, you know, Krishna forced that particular devotee to go down, not to make any further offense, but improve from there on. Because the bhakti, the process, you will not go down. Okay? So Krishna put down a little bit, so you remember, realize that mistakes, and you just correct that mistakes and again strengthen that consciousness. A nice example is Jai and Vijay. When they offended those Chatuskumaras, you know, they had to take a birth. That's a nice example. Even they were just a gatekeepers, associates, but it doesn't matter. So that was he do. Okay, other extreme example is Krishna was giving the purport is given is the, not this one, the Shastra is given, Narada Muni. The Krishna appears within his heart and then disappeared. And then what happened? He keep meditating on that form. And then he became Narada Muni in the next life. So two extreme examples. And then the third, this is the third case, so one should be very careful that the absorption has to be there if you want to strengthen the Krishna consciousness. Okay? So the hearing is very important, because when you hear nicely, then the absorption will come. And along with the hearing, the service attitude has to be there, so absorption is. When you serve the servants of the Vasudevs, your absorption in Krishna consciousness will increase over a period of time. That's very important, hearing and the service. Okay, otherwise, if he hears and if he don't serve, then the absorption over a period of time will get slackened or loosened. And then we will just divert our attention away from the Krishna. Okay. I repeat this one, I have repeated several times, but I said that, you know, there was a disciple of Ramanujacharya as Parasar Muni. Okay. He was a little boy at that time, but now he was one of the principal disciples of Ramanujacharya. Okay. So there was a very big pandit there, you know, he thought that, you know, he can defeat anyone. So whoever comes in front of him, they try to hide away because he was so powerful. He can defeat anyone. Then the Parasar Muni thought that, a little boy, he thought that, you know, let me teach him a lesson. So he said, okay, I want to fight with you, I want to debate with you. Those times, the debate was the most important things. Okay? Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, you know, debate was very there. So he said that, no, you don't have a, you still have a milk on your teeth, what you will fight with me? Well, he said, okay, he accepted the challenge, he put a handful of a sand in his hand, he said that, let me know, you know, with your power, how many grains are there in this handful of sand. So he was bewildered. He said that, I never expect such a question. So what Parasar Muni said, you know, what's the use of your knowledge? What is the use of knowledge if you don't have a respect for others? So that's very important. When you acquire the knowledge, if you don't have a respect, there is no use of that knowledge. So that's what Srila Prabhupada always focus on, devotional service. The service attitude has to be there, because the humility always comes from there. Then you can start realizing the importance of the association, importance of serving the Vaishnava. Saraswati Thakur mentioned that, I don't want to take the association or the shelter of this yoga process, this karma process, this jnana process. I want to take a shelter of the footwear of the Vaishnavas. For longer time, it's difficult. But if one continue to do that, then he become the servant of the servant. Then the humility comes, get cultivated. And then how the whole process starts. The fourth in this offense category is bhakti. So the first one, let me add few things on the first one. The first one is called when you don't have a thoughts and your thoughts and behaviors are not good, then that's basically called kautilya, crookedness. Okay, so there's a term there, Sanskrit, kautilya, crookedness. So that will happen. So Srila Prabhupada used to have one disciple. So he always thought that, you know, why Srila Prabhupada is carrying this small white suitcase all the time. So he was eyeing that, you know, I should have it and, you know, I should have the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. I will keep this suitcase. So he just used his intelligence, used his mind in a different way. He tried to trick, you know, tricking game. So he tried to give a bigger suitcase, thought that, you know, let me give some bigger suitcase to Srila Prabhupada. was using his intelligence, you know, how I looks. He says, good. He said, you know, you want this white suitcase. Yes, but, you know, don't play games, you know, be straightforward. So that's crookedness, you know. The thoughts and attitude has to be nice. So the fourth one is bhakti sthilya, sathilya means slackening in the process of bhakti. Over a period of time, when the absorption is not there, we thought that, you know, reciprocation from Krishna is not there, we start diverting our attention. And then what happened? That moves away from our consciousness, moves away from our focus. Because this Krishna consciousness process is not a one day, it's a lifelong process, so focus has to be there all the time. But if sometimes the reciprocation is not there, then, you know, the soul always desires, soul always wants to perform activities, then start focusing on other things which is more pleasing. And this is how we divert it. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Nityananda Prabhu was glorifying Raghunath Das Goswami, that he is always focusing at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. He is always focusing at the particles, the saffron particles of Krishna. Saffron particles are the which is decorating the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay? Krishna Pada Padmaganda, all the time focusing on that. And he was focusing all the time on that. So he said that further, because of that, he doesn't require all the enjoyments that's happening in the Swargaloka or this Brahmaloka. He don't need that opulence because his focus is there. When he was focusing at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spent whole day without eating, doing anything, eating anything. He just absorbed at the lotus feet. So when that happened, the bhakti process will strengthen over a period of time. If the absorption is not there, if the diversion is there, if we are diverting our attention because the reciprocation is not there, that doesn't mean, you know, you should just move out. So that will slacken the bhakti. And the fifth one in this category, which cloud the opulence, this offense of an intelligent person, is basically the, like, I'm puffed up, you know, the pride that comes when we do the bhakti. So this is very important. The nice example given here is Daksha. Okay, he was very pious person, and then Brahma given him the responsibility that he populate this world. Okay, but within his pride, sometime, and then we think that, you know, we are great, we are doing this activity, I am doing this, I am doing this, I am doing this. We don't consult others, and what happened? The pride comes. And then the pride comes when while we are doing this bhakti or doing any services, that can lead to an offense that can cloud the intelligence. Okay, somebody is good at very something, you know. But if you feel that, you know, because of me it's happening, then it's a problem. So used to be one disciple, Mataji disciple of Srila Prabhupada, so she used to make kachori for Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so sometimes Srila Prabhupada used to take those kachoris, and then one day that Mataji said to some Prabhu that, you know, these are few kachoris that are left, and then you just take care of it and Srila Prabhupada will have next day. He said that, you know, I cannot do that, but he said that, you know, you have to take care of it. The next time when Srila Prabhupada asked for kachori, then there is no kachori because somebody took it. You know, if you put a kachori in the prasadam hall, you know, it doesn't stay there. The cat has eaten it. So he came back and said, the cat has eaten it. So he said, there's no cat here, and I also don't eat kachoris. But she understood. She was very, feeling very proud that, you know, I make so nice kachoris for Srila Prabhupada, and I serve, again make a kachori, and Srila Prabhupada ate those kachoris. So there was in the Vrindavan temple, when it was constructed, there was a Guru Kripa Swami, okay. He used to raise lot of funds for that temple. He raised lot of funds. And then, you know, Srila Prabhupada called, asked his servant to ask him to come, 1 o'clock in the midnight. And he was sleeping, the servant went there, you know, Srila Prabhupada is calling. He said, it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock, you know, I'm sleeping. Oh, okay, but Swamiji called, you know, let's go. So he asked, what are you doing there? He said, I'm sleeping. No, you should go and, what are you doing? You should not sleep. You know, I'm also awake, I'm also writing the purports. You should go and also get more funds. He said, how is possible? I'm sleeping, it's night, you know, I cannot go outside. But later on he realized that, you know, he is giving the instruction that, you know, I felt like a pride in my heart that, you know, I am raising so much money for the temple, you know, nobody else is doing, I am doing that. So he chastised that pride through his instructions. So this is very important, you know, the pride should not be there. So these are the 5 offenses or things, if you are not careful, that can cloud the intelligence. And that's what exactly happened to Brahma, because he was bewildered that, you know, who is this Krishna? Why he is sharing his lunch with these cowherd boys, eating together, you know, he is taking from his mouth, and this. So that bewildered moment cloud his intelligence. So when we strengthen the relationship between the devotees, the first thing is basically we always appreciate our mentors or the devotees who are helping us in strengthening the Krishna consciousness. We should always express our gratitude, we always express our sincere thankful to them, that because of them we are cultivating the Krishna consciousness. Because if you don't glorify, then the relationship will not get strengthened. So glorification has to be there. Even the Krishna, with his cowherd boys, he went to the forest, he was glorifying all the trees of the forest. You see, these trees are so humble. They give everything, they give fruits, they give wood, you know, for fire, everything, but they don't ask anything for return. They are so tolerant. So, he is showing through his examples. Even these Pandavas, when they were suffering so heavily, but they were glorifying Krishna all the time. That because of you, we are overcoming these difficulties. It's not like, they didn't mention that, you know, because of me, you know, I can overcome these things. Because if that mood or mentality comes, then you know what happened, the relationship will not get strengthened. So that's one of the principles of the devotee care, the devotee community, is basically you put the Krishna in the center. That's what Srila Prabhupada exactly did. He built the ISKCON temples, but what he did, he didn't build the buildings, he put the deities. He put the deities in the center. Everybody comes and serves the deities. So when Krishna is in the center, there's no conflict. If you put ourselves in the center, as I mentioned last time, then the conflict happens. If you become the center of that wall, then what happens, whatever the activity do, sometimes the activity doesn't match, and then it falls down, happens. So it's very important in the relationship, you know, we always glorify that. Second is respect. The respect has to be there. Doesn't matter whoever is there, but the respect has to be there, because the other Vaishnava is also chanting 16 rounds or whatever rounds. He is also studying scriptures, he is also serving the deities. So the respect has to be there. The difference is maybe there, but the respect has to be there. Sudama is a nice example in this case. When Sudama went to Dwarka, then Krishna was washing his feet, lotus feet, and serving him. That's a perfect example that Krishna remembered during his times in the ashram with Sandipa Muni, but he was glorifying Sudama. So you give respect. If the respect is not there, then the devotee community will not flourish. There's always a problem. Okay, so this the expressing the gratitude or respect has to be there. The third thing is basically the tolerance. Okay, within the relationship, that one has to tolerate. sometimes. If the tolerance is not there, then there is a problem. You know, one of the nice examples is basically the Bali Maharaj. Okay? He was tolerant, he was humble. He knew that, you know, Krishna is snatching away everything from him, but he was humble, he was tolerant. He snatched everything away from him. He didn't like a reward. He accepted that. So he was tolerant. So one has to be very tolerant, because you know, sometimes what happens if we don't tolerate, then what happens, you know, the things go in our mind, and within the mind at some point of time we just flush out and create those offenses. So one has to be very careful, because then you know, one has to realize that, you know, okay, we talk about offense, but what is the effect? You know, we lose interest in Krishna consciousness, we lose faith in the sastras, we lose the service attitude, we lose the mood of the services, you know, some services given to them, you know, I don't need this. We lose interest. So that's an indicator that we are making offenses somewhere, and that's clouding our intelligence. The bewilderment happens, you know, we are not happy. Because this is the process where one feels happy and do it. It's a lifelong process. The focus has to be there. So an important aspect in the devotee community is, the third important aspect is, you know, the cooperation has to be there. So if there is no cooperation, then it doesn't work out. So that has to be there. So it's very important that, that's what this lesson is teaching us, that it doesn't matter how smart we are, but if we still make some offenses, then that can lead to a fall down, or basically slackening of, you know, bhakti, our attitudes are not nice, you know, absorption will be not that, we will feel pride whatever the activities that we do. So this is very important that we should be very careful about that. Not creating any offense, and also in how to strengthen the relationships. So that's what these leelas of Krishna is very, even like in the case of 11th canto, even the prostitute Pingala, you will see in the next canto, so she was saying that, you know, I was absorbed in those thinking about the peoples, that sometime this will come, but I didn't realize that, you know, the Krishna sitting next to me within my heart. If I focus more on that, then there is no need of focusing on others. So that's what she was saying in her prayers when she started realizing, you know, I was wondering, I was bewildered, you know, nobody came, this one came, but when he started realizing that Krishna is the personality of Godhead sitting next within the heart, when she was absorbed in that, she don't need others. So that's why, you know, we always put Krishna in the center. Conflicts may be there, some arguments may be there, but that doesn't mean, you know, we should have a disrespect for others. We should always have the respect for others. And all these comes when you hearing in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, because when you hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna, when you hear his pastimes, his glories, then the lotus within the heart will open up. It will open up. If you do more hearing, the lotus will open up more. And that transforms those qualities. The transformation of different qualities may happen, you know, you become humble. Become honesty will come, you have respect for others. So you have to open up that lotus within the heart by hearing these sweet pastimes of Lord Krishna. And hearing means we should hear and then absorb. If the hearing is there, no absorption is there, and no service attitude is there, then these things will not work out. We have seen, you know, many times, you know, new devotee syndrome, you know, they come and then they chant, they come in a Mangalarti, they chant, they eat prasadam, but suddenly they just go away. Because their absorption is not there, you know, they take things so lightly and they try to do things, you know, so fast. It is a very slow process. When they try to do these activities, very fast without having too much absorption, they just go away. Pure devotee syndrome or a new devotee syndrome. That's what it happened. So these things are very personal. Hearing is very critical, you know, then sharanam, you know. Hearing, then chanting. Then only this service attitude will come, and this is how when you serve the servants of the Vasudevs, the absorption will be more. And that, then Krishna said, Uddhava, in the 11th canto said that, Uddhava requesting Krishna, how you can help me? Please help me. Krishna said that when you realize this, then that intelligence, you can use this intelligence to get out of this material world. Then he will give you the spiritual intelligence, okay? The spiritual intelligence you will get is only by the grace, his divine grace, okay? Not by our own efforts. We can just do the endeavors. So use the intelligence to go away from this material world, but then Krishna will give the spiritual intelligence, you can go back to God. So I think that I will end here. If there is any comment or question somebody want to share.
Class, and your class are really straight and pointing toward the heart. It seems like everything is coming to me. Two things, Prabhu, I want to ask. I missed that point when you told that how Vasudeva was behaving duplicitous, like he told Praja, and I missed that.
So Vasudeva, you know, the Krishna was son of Vasudeva, Devaki, okay, and then you know that story that, you know, he crosses the Yamuna, he gave the son, delivered the son to Nanda Maharaj based on the instruction of Krishna. And then, you know, he brought back the daughter that was born to Yashoda. Okay. So the Vasudeva, when he goes there to meet Nanda Maharaj, so he doesn't have that, he thought that, you know, I cannot ask him that how is your son, okay, because that's not truthful, because he was not son of Nanda Maharaj, he was the son of Vasudeva. Okay? So he asked like how is your praja? You know, praja means, you know, the progeny, you know. How is your praja? It's a different way of asking that question. How is your praja means? He's also one part of the praja. You know, Nanda Maharaj was the Raja, king. So he has all his praja, you know. See, that's what the nice way to ask, how is your praja? Instead of asking how is your son, because that's not truthful. So he gave thoughts to that process. So the thought was such a way that it doesn't offend others also. So in that context I was saying.
You told that Krishna gives a spiritual intelligence. It's our, we can just endure, but rest depend on Krishna. And I was remembering the verse 10:10, Bhagavad Gita. Often the tendency comes that when we start the process, like a new devotee like me, who start the process, who try to work very fast, in that process, there is a tendency to create offenses to the devotees. And when someone try to correct us, Prabhu, this is the way you are going wrong. And at that time, our tendency comes up, hey, I'm in this process from last 5 years, and I know what I'm doing. How can you help? How can you help in that situation? Or what should we do to help that devotee?
So he's asking you, huh?
From last 5 years, I know what I'm doing. Don't correct me. So in that situation, and I was feeling really bad. Why did I do this thing? That I should have never told me 5 years. But what should we do? What should be our real endeavors that the our material activities or our activities in a bhakti, so-called activities in a bhakti, turn spiritual, or how Krishna can show his mercy, how does it act? How
so in this
act?
Case, no, that's especially when a devotee doing practicing bhakti for 5 years, and then it's pretty delicate situation when you ask and try to correct them that, you know, or him or her, that this is not the way that you should do. So last time I mentioned a few things that one should be very careful not to criticize or find fault, because I think two class before I talk about the different fault finding habits of a devotees. So let me repeat that. One of them, I don't want to go over all of that, but one of them, Srila Prabhupada encourages us that we should do, that a devotee can have a good qualities and also have some negative aspects of that. So he said that a devotee should cultivate a knowledge in such a way or intelligence in such a way that we always look for good qualities in that particular devotee rather than focusing on the bad qualities. Because if there are different categories, one category is that you focus always on bad qualities. It doesn't matter how good he is, okay? Because of jealousy or something else, you know, or a competition. And others, you know, okay, he has a good quality, but he also bad qualities. He highlights both. But the third one that we should aspire for, that always look for a good quality in others, he might have some negative aspects. But in that scenario, sometimes you give the instruction or suggestion in a such a way that your intention is not to find a fault, but intention should be that you give instruction in such a way that the other person get the message and don't feel it. Because this movement is not to find fault, this movement is that through mutual understanding how we can progress in the Krishna consciousness. But in your case, if he still doesn't listen, then you know, maybe even though you can consult a devotee senior than you, then you can consult, what should I do? Now, if still the thing doesn't work out, let it go. You just move on and focus on other things. Because then, if you still start feeling out that he has this problem, she has this problem, it will agitate your mind.
For clarification, more than agitation of mind is that fire is nothing, Prabhu. Fire is like a newborn baby in the moment.
Yeah.
And when the things come to us like, oh, I'm in 5 years. Prabhu, 5 years, nothing, you're just born. How can you explain that thing to that person? It's very difficult.
It's pretty delicate. 5 years is nothing, but still delicate. But you know, sometimes people don't take instructions because the absorption is not there. That's what I said, you know, they are not fully absorbed. So that's why they keep offending others or making mistakes. But they don't want to listen. But at some time, you know, they get intelligence, you listen, you know. This is very, you know, pretty critical, you know. Maybe Subal Prabhu can highlight more on that. He has more experience. You want to comment on that?
Nice class. Thank you so much, Yendra Moksha Prabhu. You explain all these different things that we have to look carefully in order to save ourselves from the bewilderment of intelligence that leads to offenses, and you know, it can lead to hurt our progress in Krishna consciousness. Now, the effect that has in a community, I mean, we see that the community of devotees is almost like the lab or the, you know, the workshop for cultivating all these things and dealing with all these issues. One thing that I thought, well, we can expect that there is bewilderment of intelligence because we are more or less, most of us in the community of devotees, we are in the process of trying to become free from our material condition. So the fact is that this is going to happen, and it happens this side and this side, and that, you know, it's all over the place. It's expected. And in the situation in which you have some bewilderment of intelligence causes another bewilderment of intelligence, then and not necessarily I see that, oh, I see something wrong, but not necessarily I can see anything, you know, I mean, I'm seeing it one way, and the other person is saying, oh, I see something wrong, so it's not,
yeah.
You know. So, what do you do, or how? I mean, you mentioned tolerance, which is, an important aspect, but the fact is that most of us, we're endeavoring very hard to cultivate these things, to cultivate respect, to cultivate tolerance, to cultivate humility, to be thoughtful.
Yeah.
But the fact is that we're still conditioned and we're still, you know, going to make all these mistakes. And then you have that the fact is that there is a big challenge in a community of devotees to be able to accommodate this and to properly tolerate these things.
This is always a challenging part, but personally how I do it, usually if I want, first I try to develop some good relationship with that particular devotee, and then once the relationship is little bit strengthened, then basically that devotee open up his heart to receive those instructions, that, you know, whatever problem he or she has, at least they will listen to me because somehow they are connected to me. Then they will try to correct those mistakes or whatever the activity they are doing to try to improve it. But if that relationship is not that strong, I mean, you cannot have relationship with everybody, but at least to some extent you have to make that connection, otherwise the instruction will not go within the heart. The other thing you can do is that you show by your examples. You show by through examples that particular devotee, if your examples, if your attitude, your behaviors, your thoughts, everything is strong, then the other devotee can see in you, and if you try to give instruction, then there's a possibility that they can listen. But you have to show through examples. The other thing you can do by relationship. That's what I have done, I think that, and then it works out to quite a good extent. But there may be some other ways you can do it. But it's very challenging that you can develop a relationship with everybody and try to correct everybody. It's not, we have to go to the extent that within our capacity and within our understanding, you know, we cannot come here to correct everybody, but at least to some extent we can help few devotees in our Krishna conscious process. I think we achieved that what we want. So I have seen that relationship, you know, the other person, other party always take instructions. They will not mind it. But somehow, I said to Param Karuna, you know, sometimes you do in such a way that you give the instruction, but the other doesn't feel that, you know, this particular devotee is finding fault in me. Then if you do that, then he will also think that, you know, then you also don't have this quality, you know, the arguments will happen. So it's a very delicate situation. It required experience and maturity, and that comes through that.
There's the aspect of it's easier for us to see that from me to the position to helping others. It's more difficult to see that the fact is that I need a lot of help too. And, you know, that, so to be simultaneously on the giving and receiving,
yes,
is that's a part that is challenging. We are mostly, we see ourselves, you know, oh, let me help, you know, from the position of, I'm extending myself, you know, so I'm correct. And my intelligence is not bewildered. Everybody else, or this group, or whatever, whoever I'm staying, when your intelligence is bewildered, that you're bewildered.
Yeah.
You know, you see everybody else bewildered but yourself. So that's the challenging part.
Yes, yes. I agree. One other thing I like to add also to his question, that once, you know, once the maturity is there within us, we always develop the tendency, you know, to giving the instruction all the time, you know. that, you know, you follow this, you follow this. But one of the important things we can look into that, you know, go to that particular deity who distinguishes what actually you want, so I can, or with your attitude and all those things. So we also go the other way, rather than just giving one way, you know, giving and taking, you know, giving instruction all the time. You know, some people don't take it because based on their absorption, you know, they have different levels, they may not take it. So well, first listen to them and see what's your problem, how I can help you. So whatever they suggest, we just follow them.
He's first. Do you finish? You finish?
I remember a saying, a word to the wise is sufficient, but there's no end to the words needed to convince a fool.
Yeah.
And I was, one person was saying, don't smoke, but he smokes.
Yeah.
And your action speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. So those are just a few things that came to mind. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. Instructions have to be out there, but sometimes to be firm crosses the line that to be aggressive. And it's not what he said, but it, how things are said, that makes a huge difference when we are the subjects of our authorities. And sometimes authorities act in a way that they are the people that we look up, but shake our faiths and shake our understanding of the line of authority and what is going on here, you know? Am I clear?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, when it comes to the management, sometimes, you know, some hard decisions has to be made to make things works out, you know. Maybe somebody don't like those decisions, but at least, you know, over a period of time they will absorb it. But it also depends on the leaders also, how they tackle that situation, you know.
Keep it short, even though he like had three. thank you, Prabhu, for your class. I will keep it shorter since it was a nice interactive class today. You made a lot of wonderful points. The one point you made, many points, but you made, generally speaking, you see many devotees come from Manga Artsy, used that example, and then, or we come and stay for a little bit, but then they leave. And what happened? There could be many things, but you were essentially describing that it's very difficult to maintain our Krishna consciousness. And one of my favorite pastime regarding that is chapter 89 of Krishna book, where it describes that Brahma's the creator, Shiva's the destroyer, and Vishnu's the maintainer. And creating our spiritual enthusiasm, easy. Destroying our spiritual enthusiasm, even easier. Maintaining it, that's very difficult. And this pastime describes that when Bhrigu ignored Brahma, he couldn't maintain his spiritual enthusiasm. He was dishonored.
Yeah.
Same with Shiva. Shiva wanted to kill him when Bhrigu dishonored him. But Vishnu, the maintainer, he maintained his peace of mind, and he offered all respect to others without expecting respect in return. And the reason I love this pastime, because it essentially describes how we can become PhDs, pretty humble devotees. And we see that when a child especially comes to the hospital, the child screams at the doctor, spits at the doctor, yells at the doctor, and even kicks the doctor, like Bhrigu Muni kicked Lord Vishnu. But I've never seen a doctor retaliate against his disease and sick patients. And so one quote I really appreciate, because Prahlad, if he saw Hiranyakashipu, he was a demon. He was proud to be a demon, but he didn't see him as a demon. He saw him as a diseased, conditioned soul with pride. So there's a nice quote that says, if you change the way you look at things, then the things you look at change. So those are my main point. I appreciate it. But my really question is regarding your pastime. You mentioned King Daksha and Lord Shiva. So my question, one thing that prevents us from respecting others, because like I said, it's easy to respect people who respect us, but one thing we see in this pastime that is very easy to respect people who obviously have more power than us, police officers, our guru, rich donors. But King Daksha, we see in this pastime that when you get some opulences, you become fearless, or rather stupid, that you can think you can say anything to anyone because you think you have more power than them. Like Hiranyakashipu, same situation. So my question is, how do we know we're not putting our faith in these insignificant opulences, and how do we know that we're actually putting our real faith where it should be placed? Krishna, Bhakti, Bhajahure Mana Shinandanandana, Abhaya Chadanana, Brindare, faith in Krishna, not faith in these temporary opulences. So how do we distinguish that?
So if I understand your question, you said that, let me correct, okay? So you said that, you gave an example of Lord Shiva and Daksha, okay, different category. Okay, respecting or not respecting. So if I understand your question, you're asking that how we can increase our faith in Krishna?
My question is that how do we know we're not putting our faith in our opulences that Krishna may mercifully give us? And how do we know our faith is true? Because the tendency is that when we get some opulences, I can say anything to anyone I want. I have these opulences. I don't have to worry about a reaction. Yeah. And how do we know if this is faith in Krishna or faith in the opulences? How can we distinguish that?
If you have a strong faith in Krishna, or if you develop a strong absorption in Krishna, then you will not start distinguishing between your riches and poor. Everybody is unique to you. Okay, you're not saying that, you know, if you do Mangalarti or a donor will come, okay, I will take care of them, especially I give them garland and all those things. I respect more, but who doesn't give me any penny, so I should not respect that, you know. So when you start separating these things, that means our absorption is still not deeper. It's a long way to go. Okay? External may be different. You know, external it may be different, but internally the cultivation or faith should be that, you know, I should be equal to everybody. That's what Paramahansa is there, you know. When Srila Prabhupada started the movement, he didn't start it with the rich people, he started with the hippies. So, you know, you respect everybody. That respect only comes if the deepening of the bhakti is very deep within the heart. Otherwise your lotus is always closed. You have to open it up for everybody. So That's where you can see, you know, if somebody, people are very oriented towards some section of the community and they're ignoring others, that means it's still a long way to go. They have to strengthen that, you know. The absorption has to be there. It's not easy to become Paramahansa, you know. It's easy to talk, but when you want to become that Paramahansa, then it's very challenging. Okay? I think we should end here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.